Well, good morning on this Father's Day. I'm going to pick up where I left off. I'm going to jump right into the sermon this morning. When I left us last week, yes, I will give more information about what happened towards the end of the message, so you're going to have to stay with me in the journey. But when I left you, I was in the hospital. I'm a four-month-old Christian. I'm 25 years old. I'm in the hospital. They can't figure out exactly what's going on. I have a bleed-out count of plus four. They're all concerned. I walk in doubled over. They tell me, we don't know how long you're going to be here. We're ordering tests. We've got two procedures we want to do. We're not going to put a time end on this because we don't know, because we got to stop the bleeding and we got to figure out what's going on. So I tell Rochelle to go home, get my legal pad and pen and my Dake's Bible and bring it back to me, because I wanted to find out about a faith that would anchor me in a storm. This was a storm for us financially, to be in the hospital, especially to be told, we don't know how long you're going to be in the hospital. And I'm just a baby Christian, and I had never done well in storms. So I'm asking God, God, I want to know about a faith that will anchor me in this storm. So God takes me to the book of James. For the next 4 days, I devour the book of James. And I fill up that legal pad from everything that I was learning. I was cross-referencing. I was studying. Matter of fact, there was a couple of days. As the days went along, I had Rochelle bring some stuff people had given me that were study Bible books. And I had them out in the room because they wouldn't let me out of my bed. And so I'm just studying. I'm praying. I'm seeking God about a faith that would work in a storm. And that's what we talked about last week. Now, the doctors are telling me, when I'm asking questions about what's going on, I don't know. Well, how long am I going to be in here? We don't know. You're going to have to wait. Well, how long am I going to have to wait? We don't know. You're just going to have to be patient. We're going to have to run all these tests. We're going to have to do these procedures. So I would ask the nurses, how long am I going to be in here? We don't know. You're going to have to wait until the doctors figure out what's going on. I said, well, how long am I going to have to wait? They said, you're just going to have to be patient. Not the answers I wanted. So God is about to move me into a place in these early hours of studying, not only about a faith that's anchored in a storm, but He's about to talk to me in the book of James about an anchoring faith that can patiently wait on God. Now, how many of us can be fully honest? We could use a tad bit more patience. How many of us can get real honest about that we struggle when waiting? We struggle when we're waiting. Here's how we typically react. If not now, when? This is where we come from. God, if you're not going to do it right now, I want to know a timestamp and a date and a location when this is going to happen. I asked that question in the hospital. I said, well, can you tell me, is it a day from now, 2 days from now, before I'm going to take the test? They're going to do the procedure? And I asked one nurse who'd been there. My grandmother was a nurse, so I'm looking at this gray-headed lady. I'm going, she knows everything. And I looked at her, and I said, my grandmother's a nurse, so I know you know stuff. I said, when that happens, how many more days will be? And she looked at me, and she goes, you're just going to have to be patient. And I think, that's not what I want to hear. I want a time stamp on this thing. And so God is going to take me into the book of James during this season in the hospital to teach me about a faith that can be anchored while patiently waiting to get to the other side. A faith that can wait. Here's something we hate even more. Besides, we hate to wait in lines. There's something else. I call it life waiting. Waiting on God to do something. Call it life waiting. We really do hate that more. Why hasn't my career taken off? Why hasn't my business outgained last year? Why hasn't my mate come to Jesus yet? Why hasn't this burden of this financial pressure been lifted off of me yet? And the Father is saying, as we heard today in the song, it's in the waiting. And there's a purpose for the waiting. I'm in the hospital and I'm being told, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to be patient. I had one nurse said, you need to learn some perseverance. I wanted to stand up and go, amen to that, sister. I need that. Because I wasn't known for being good in the storm, much less being patient. And my family probably say, Dad still struggles with that. Patience. Patience, waiting on God. I'm back in the hospital room by myself. They've taken me and done some things, brought me back. I'm thinking about all that they've said to me thus far, which is nothing. I'm sitting in the room, and I'm talking to God about a faith that's anchored in the storm. Now I'm talking to God about a faith that can wait. And I'm about to learn about waiting from a man who lived in the land of Uz. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 11. You know how we call those blessed. I want you to listen carefully. Don't let this run past you. Listen. You know how we call those blessed, happy, who were steadfast, who endured. Happy. Come on, when was the last time you were just jumping up and down, excited? Happy that you're having to wait. You're having to endure. You're having to be steadfast. But he's talking about, remember, those who know how to, let me say it this way, who know how to wait. Know how to be happy while waiting. He goes on to say here, you have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the Lord's purpose and how he richly blessed him in the end. Inasmuch as the Lord is full of pity, I want to say something here. I'm just going to pause for a moment. The Father knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. And he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. And compassion and tenderness and mercy. When I hear the words, these three words, patience, I hear waiting. When I hear perseverance, I hear waiting. When I hear endure, I hear waiting. It's in the waiting. I didn't ask them to do that song. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us today that we have got to learn to wait and trust God. I'm going to drill down on that a little more in a moment back to last week's message. Now, Job. We don't have time to study all of Job. Job. Job has got some troubles. Job is a well-off man. He lacks nothing. He has everything that anybody could want. Big family, lots of livestock, crops, possessions, everything you could want. And suddenly, Job's kids are gone. Suddenly, his livestock are gone. Suddenly, his crops are gone. Suddenly, his buildings are gone. Now, all of a sudden, Job's got sores all over his body. This isn't a knock against the wives, just his wife. His wife was no help. She tells Job, Job, give up and curse God. Job's friends come. Job, what sin did you commit? You must be a bad guy. Have all this happen to you. All this negativity around Job. And then Job says something very profound. Life changing for me. Rochelle has quoted this many times, did just recently in the office with somebody we were talking to this past week. But I read it in that hospital room, and it got my attention. Job is going through all this stuff. Is he in a storm? And if you study how long this thing went on, Job was having to wait patiently on God in faith. His troubles, you read the depth of those troubles. But then in Job 13:15, he says this, very profound statement. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job is declaring that no matter what I'm going through right now, I will trust God. Though I have these sores all over my body, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm going to trust God to get me to the other side. I know that I've lost my family, but I'm going to trust God to give me back a family. I have lost all of my wealth, but I'm going to trust God, no matter what, that my God will get me to the other side. And if it was me, I'd say, God, although these are my friends, I'm going to believe you to send me some new ones. Think about it. Job says, though he may slay me, I will still trust in him. That is a trust that we all need. Amen? It is a trust that we all need in God. Though this may take a while, though I've been in this for 3 years, one thing will not change. I will trust God to get me to the other side. I will trust God. We trust God to get us to the other side. A pen truth. God invites us to trust in His goodness today and His faithfulness tomorrow. Well, I've had about 150 tomorrows. It hadn't happened yet. Trust God. He is faithful. He will do what He promised. He will do what He promised. So what is the proper Christian response to waiting? Good question. What is the proper Christian response? Fly into a rage? Guilty as charged. Here's the one. Throw a pity party? And even post it on Facebook. Now, I haven't done the post about guilty as charged as throwing pity parties, but not on Facebook. How about this one? This is my favorite. Pace back and forth in front of people and talk to yourself. Because you're weary with what? Waiting. So you're pacing back and forth. And what you're really doing is you're trying to figure out how to change it all instead of trusting God. You're trying to figure it out without trusting God. Or would the proper Christian response be Proverbs 3, 5 and 6? Oh gosh, here he comes again with it. Yep. That verse exists because this is where God wants us to live. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. I'm laying in a hospital bed. I'm not known for doing well in a storm. This was a storm to us on a financial level. Man, we were budgeting gas to down to the last day of getting back and forth to work, go buy groceries, and make it to church and back. We didn't do anything else because we was having to budget the gas. And now I'm in a hospital. This is not a good thing. So I'm facing a storm, and I'm being told, wait patiently. I am not good at waiting patiently. But God is going to teach me that there is a faith that will anchor me in the storm and anchor me to wait patiently on God to get me to the other side. I'm going to share with you today three truths from James. The first one, nobody likes to hear. God wants us to wait patiently. God wants us to wait patiently. I'm going to say this until somebody says amen. God wants us to wait patiently. Okay, now we'll move on. That way we don't go too long. Here we go. Pin truth number two, relinquishing control to Him is the main route to experience peace while waiting. You got to relinquish the pacing, the rage, the pity parties. All of that is I'm not trusting God. I'm trying to create something that will change my environment and my circumstances. God wants us to learn to wait patiently. Let's go to the stern of the boat again. Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. The disciples are looking at Him. They're terrified. They don't think He cares. They tell Him, don't you care that we're going to perish? Let's rewrite the story a little bit. Let's just say Peter, who could be one of the most negative, let's say Peter says, hey guys, Jesus said we're going to go to the other side. Yeah, so what? Well, hasn't He proven every time He says something, that's what happens? Now, we've been with Him and we've seen a lot of stuff. Come on, let's go do something. What are we going to do? We're going to go down in the stern of the boat with Him. Let's just sit around. Let's wait and see what happens. I believe if they'd have done that, if the boat wasn't getting to the other side, Jesus would have woke up. This is taking too long. Spoke to everything. And they'd all been high-fiving. Wasn't that cool? Instead of Jesus having to get up and rebuke it and then looking at them and rebuking them. After all they'd seen. Are y'all with me? God has done so much for us, but yet we still don't trust Him. We've got to trust Him. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. James chapter 1 verse 4 says, and let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work. Now this is important. So that you may be perfect and completely developed in what? In your faith. Lacking in nothing. In the waiting, God is developing your trust in Him. In the waiting, to trust God. Let me say this. Waiting exposes where our faith is. Waiting exposes where our faith is. Now I'm laying in a hospital room. I don't have much. I'm a baby Christian. I want to know. And all of a sudden in that room, I'm laying in that bed. I make a decision. I said, I am not going to let this storm get to me. I'm going to trust God. I'm reading all this. I'm going to trust God. I don't know how long I'm going to have to wait, but I'm just going to believe God's going to get me to the other side. And in the process, He's going to teach me how to persevere, how to endure, and He's going to help build my faith. So that the next time, this is easier. And it was a choice I made in the room that day. Now, Thayer Smith's Bible Dictionary says perseverance. I love this. The characteristic of a man who is not swerved by even the greatest trials. That was the statement I made because I'd already lived through a lot by then, and I'd already realized that as a Christian, I'm going to heaven, but I still had to live life. And I'm sure there were things I was going to have to face. So early on, laying in the hospital bed, I wanted to learn about a faith that would anchor me in the storm. I wanted to learn about a faith that would anchor me so that I could patiently wait on God to get me to the other side. A faith. Pen truth number three. Job was a man who exhibited patience of this kind. Through his affliction, Job chose to wait on God. Not only that, listen, study, look at it, read it. Not only did he choose to put his trust and faith in God in the middle of all this stuff, he also worshiped him in the middle of all the stuff. We got to quit letting the enemy rob us of our joy and our peace when we're facing something. And the first thing he wants to take from you is worship and get you to go on vacation of sorts. Get you out of your rhythm and routine in your devotional life and cause you to just focus only on what you're going through versus the one who can get you through what you're going through. That's the key. Job was that man. While laying in the hospital bed, reading all this, studying all this, God makes this statement to me. And I repinned it from when he said it, from the information that I had written down in those days. And here's what he said. Yes, because of a question I asked about patience. Corey, patience is a choice. One that will anchor your faith. It's a choice. You either choose to let your circumstances run over you, or you choose to fall into the arms of God and let Him carry you to the other side. It's a choice. It's a choice. Number two, God wants us to wait expectantly. Pen truth. God is always by our side and grows us in patience and grace through these periods of waiting. I'm going to read that again. God is always, let me change it, on your side. And wants to grow you in patience and grace through these periods of waiting. God is up to something larger. And we need to wait on Him. We need to wait on Him. Let me step over here. You say, Pastor, you just talk about this too much. And I'm going to talk about it because it's still a miraculous miracle. It takes money to have a facility. Amen? Right? But what we were hoping for, looking for, but never would happen in a building. And we just put our trust in God. We just patiently waited 10 years. Now I want you to hear this. We patiently waited 10 years. Not everybody could wait with us for 10 years. Patiently waited for 10 years and got this at a lease payment, half of what we would have got it for if we'd gone the other direction. In the waiting, come on, God is going to take us to the other side and give us something better. I hope somebody heard that. Psalms 130, verse 5, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help me, for He has promised. That's a verse of Scripture. You need to take a picture of that. You need to write it down. You need to put it somewhere. Get your posting notes out. And you need to be declaring that Let me read it from the Amplified. I wait patiently for the Lord, my soul, expectantly. I'll read it again. I wait patiently for the Lord, my soul expectantly waits, and in His word do I hope. Where do we need to land in the storm? Where do we need to land before the storm? Where do we need to land after the storm? Where do we need to land to wait patiently? In His word. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Now, let me pause here for just a moment. Why would he bring up about being patient about when the Lord comes back? Because they had the promise about the Lord coming back. They were living in very, very troubled times. Now, he uses this to begin to penetrate to them that it's in the waiting, and you're going to have to be patient. God has not left us. He has not forsaken us. God will get us to the other side. They lived in very troubling times. Do we live in very troubling times? He said, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains, patiently waiting for the rains. God is saying to His church, you need to be like farmers. You need to wait on me because I'm bringing the rain. I had uncles that were farmers. Even to my Uncle Charlie's passing, and then Uncle Frank's still alive, I've never met those two men. For what I saw, were some of the calmest men I'd ever met. Because you know what they had learned? And they were Christian men. You know what they'd learned? To patiently wait on God to take care of their crops. And there were hard times. But they still trusted God and patiently waited on the Father to always get them to the other side. Waiting on the rains. God wants to rain on you, but you may have to wait a little bit longer. And the key to it is don't give up and don't give in. And don't start speaking negatively. In verse 7 here, I want us to do a little Bible study. In verse 7, the word patience here, many see this word as meaning long suffering. It's not what it means. Paul is bringing out and stating this. There may be times you simply will have to wait, and maybe longer than you would like. But God will come through. We have turned having to wait, having to be patient, into this terrible, instead of, while I'm in the waiting, digging into the Word, worshiping God, building myself up, staying in faith, speaking to it, like Jesus did, until it all comes and it's over with, and we go to the other side. As long as we see it as I'm going to have to suffer through this, then you will probably suffer even double long. God is trying to help us today to cut things short and have our suddenlies. Have our suddenlies. Pin truth number 5, God is working at all times with our best interest in mind. I'm in the hospital. Unknown to me, God is working some things that are to my best interest. And I chose not to let what was going on to affect me. And that was a miracle. And I'm a baby Christian. You say, oh, baby Christians got lots of faith. Now, I wasn't one of those, okay? Job 14:14 says, all the days of my service I would wait till my renewal should come. What is he stating? What is he stating? No matter how long it takes, I will wait because it will come. In the Amplified, it says it this way, I will wait all the days of my struggle until my change and release will come. In other words, I am going to stand and I'm going to trust God. I don't care how long it takes, but my God will get me to the other side. He will get me to the other side. He has our best interest in mind. While I'm in the hospital, I begin to notice in verse 7 something else. And it's the word that we read there, wait. What it actually means in verse 7 is to look with expectation. When I'm in the waiting, am I looking for an expected end with my Father's hand on it, or am I expecting something bad? Decision we got to make. I began to believe that God was up to something and that He was going to do something for me. And I began to get my expectations up to whatever He had for me. And after almost 2 days, all of a sudden, I'm getting this expectancy that something really cool is about to happen. If you'd come in and said, what is it? I go, I don't know. But something cool is going to happen. Because I'm getting my expectations up. Are you with me? Waiting here means look for with an expectant heart. Now, a nurse walks in at the end of the second day. She comes in and she says, I've noticed something. I'm like, whoa, she noticed something. What have I missed? She's a Christian nurse. She comes in and she said, I have noticed that you have slept through the night. Now, come on, somebody tell me, that's not an amen in a hospital. Nurses coming and going. She said, you haven't noticed when we've come and gone. She was coming in on the night shift. She said, you've slept through the night, even the first night. She said, I've also noticed that you have been just calm and at rest. And you've been so friendly and just so positive with everybody. She said, I've been noticing all this stuff you got out, all this studying you're doing and stuff. And she said, there's a young man down the hall. Young to her. I was young too. Young man down the hall who's been in a bad accident and his arm was chewed up and they tried to put it back together. They don't even know if it's going to make it. And he's down the hall. He's super depressed. He's really down. He's down there crying because they've told him they don't know whether the arm will make it through all the surgeries. They've told him he's just going to have to wait and see. Waiting. He's in a storm. And so I'm just looking at her and I said, was anybody trying to help him? She said, that's why I'm here. Would you like to come down there and talk to him? I was like, yes. I've been studying. I gathered up all my stuff. She said, you can't walk down there. I started to get out. She said, no, they don't want you walking. You're already bleeding at count four. We don't want it to work. She said, let me get a wheelchair. I'm going to get another nurse. We're going to take all, because they had me hooked up to a lot of stuff. They put me in this wheelchair. I got all my stuff. They wheel me down to the room. The door opens up. There's this young man, same age as me. It was the day I was young. And he's laying there in that bed. And I can see the arm, and I'm just like, how'd they put all that back together? And he's crying, scared. I come in the room, and I go, Mark! It was somebody that I went to high school with. And he looked at me, and he goes, Corey! We hadn't seen each other in a very long time. And so we get through the reconnecting a little bit, and then I didn't waste any time. I start teaching him. I don't know much, folks, but I know what I just learned. So I'm teaching him what I've just learned about trusting God in the storm to get you to the other side. I'm talking to him about a patience that he can see God do some really cool stuff. I start talking to him about being anchored in God's word so that he can get to the other side. I start talking to him about being anchored in a faith that can patiently wait, because they were telling him the same stuff they're telling me. We don't know. They just kept telling him to wait. I was in that room until they ran me out of the room at 11 o'clock that night. The nurse that took me down there, she said, "That's it. You got to go. Come on." She took me back down the room. I'm laying in that bed thinking, man, this was cool. In the middle of the storm, is anybody with me? In the middle of waiting. 8:30 the next morning, Mark comes barreling into my room, dragging all his stuff with a nurse behind him yelling at him. True story. I'm laying there in the bed. I'm going, "Hi, Mark." And Mark says, "You got to tell me more." And he pulled up a chair and he sat down. And I witnessed to him for the next hour. And at the end of that hour, he gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah. Why do we let the storm keep us from other things that God's trying to do? Been there, done that. Guilty as charged. In the waiting. Then we got to where we were laughing about waiting. The nurse would come in, give him a new report. She'd give me a new report. We'd just crack up laughing. I said, I guess we're going to be here a while. You know anybody else we can go talk to? That's what I told him. He said, "Yeah, there's a guy next to me." We took off and went down to him. Talked to him. Now, I want you to hear the end of this. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of waiting, I'm learning, he gets saved. And his arm, he kept it. Not only that, 10 years later, I want you to understand the importance of things. 10 years later, he's in a car accident, loses his life, but he knows Jesus. Come on. What if that nurse had walked in, looked at me, and all I'd done is complain and whine and harass them? It was negative. Why ain't God doing something? Why is God putting me here? Why? Do you think that Christian woman would come get me to go talk to him? No. That would have never happened. God is working behind the scenes to do more than you could ever think of. Number three, God wants us to, like Job, to wake confidently. Pin truth, though we all hate to wait, waiting, we must learn to trust in God's timing and have faith in Him. I'm going to end right here. The Holy Spirit said, end it. Let me read my final statement to you. As I've studied the Bible over 38 years, you see people like Abraham, Anna, Joseph, Moses, Ruth, David, Naomi, and the list can go on and on and on. In some way or form or fashion, they all had to wait, some for many years, for God's promises. Everything that happened in the meantime prepared them inwardly as well as outwardly to receive a blessing beyond measure. God was working on me inside and outside to bring a blessing to my life that was beyond what I would have ever thought, being a 4-year-old Christian, to go in and minister what I learned. I didn't know much, but I had learned something. And what I did know, what I did understand, I unpacked it, and he came to Christ. Not only that, his faith took off in the waiting to believe God that he wouldn't lose his arm. And he didn't. Now, in the waiting, fourth day, they're telling me, "We still don't know how long you're going to be in here. We got one more thing we need to do." They go run all these things with me. They bring me back to the room. The doctor walks in. And I'll never forget, he walks in, he's doing this. He's just like, I said, "What?" He said, "Everything we found wrong with you is now gone." Bleeding has stopped. Everything's fine, as though nothing ever happened. You're going to check out tonight. Come on now. See, we're waiting for this experience in a service. We're waiting for the next cool movement during church. And maybe in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your waiting, God has a miracle waiting for you. If you'll trust Him. Come on. If you'll trust Him. Trust Him. Get your expectations up. But you don't know how hard it is. I know it's hard. But I know my God. I've never had to live through what Job lived through. I've never had to live what Jesus went through. But God was faithful to the end to provide. Amen? A faith that is so anchored that I can patiently wait for 10 years for God to give us something for half of what we could have got. Anybody with me? Patiently waiting. Here's what we're going to do this morning. This is Father's Day. We added a little time on the timeline. I was down here praying last night and I felt a very heavy anointing in this place. I feel it now. There's people in this room right now. You need a miracle. Come on, you need a miracle. You're in the middle of waiting. Someone was down here. We're going to document this and put it out. Somebody was down here this past Sunday in this altar for someone else and received a miracle. You need a miracle? Come down right now. Come. You need a miracle. You're in the middle of waiting for a miracle. You're in the middle of waiting for something to change, radically change. You're in the middle of watching someone else change. You're in the middle of waiting. And you're ready to move to a next level. That's the first call. Second call is, who needs a little more patience and needs to commit more to trusting God in the waiting? I'm going to encourage you to come down. In the waiting. It's in the waiting. God's going to perform miracles. The one we've heard of, the other one we heard of, there's more to come. God is getting ready. What was the promise God gave us at the first of the year? He said, you're not in a miracle moment, you're in a miracle season. That this building was just the tip of the iceberg of what God is going to do. Just the tip of the iceberg of what God is going to do. I only have one thing to share with you that you need to do right now. You need to just stretch your hands towards heaven and say, I receive. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive. I receive patience. I receive an ability to persevere. I receive feet that are grounded to endure. I receive the engrafted word of God into my very being, in my mind, and my heart. I will act upon the word, and I will worship Him in the middle of the waiting. I will trust Him. I refuse to be moved in the waiting. And now in Jesus' name, I loose peace into this altar now. Now, call out your miracle and receive it right now in Jesus' name. Call it out and receive it. Call it out and tell God, I receive it. I receive that done. I receive that miracle right now. I receive the end of that right now. Declare, I'm going to the other side because my Father's with me. I'm going to the other side. Not just worship Him. Glorify His name. Give Him praise. He is worthy. 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 Thank you, Jesus. This lady right here in the black shirt, I met you last week. When you, Lord was speaking to me, but when you did this, the Lord said, that's what I was telling you about. You did that because God wanted to get my attention to speak something to you. When you did that, I saw large raindrops falling upon you. But the difference is, they weren't hitting you and running over you like water does. They were landing inside of you. And the wellspring of the Spirit of God is going to outflow from you into others. And the streams of life and health and restoration are going to come out of your mouth into them, and they're going to receive it and be set free. In Jesus' name. Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Out there in the foyer is not just cookies, I mean giant cookies. So you need to go get you a cookie, men. And everyone go have a great Father's Day today. There's no guests. No. If you're a guest with us for the first time, please fill out our connection card and leave it at the Connection Center before you leave.